Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today. I always look forward to these times. They are such a blessing for me, and I trust that they are for you. I hope that you're having a great day, that you are close to the Lord, that you feel Him guiding you and strengthening you. I hope that you're seeing Him work and move in your life. I hope the circumstances that you're in right now are good and enjoyable. As I film this, it's a rainy day here. I'm actually having to film this a few days earlier than normal because we're going to be out of town. In fact, it might even be back in town by the time you watch this, but I wanted to make sure that we could get it posted. And so while I'm filming this, it's raining, and I thought I could film it outside, but I was scared that the audio would pick up the rain, and certainly the rain hitting the gutter and running down the gutter. So we're back inside, and hopefully soon we'll be back outside again. But we're thankful for the rain that the Lord has sent to us and just His blessings. I'm thankful for Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But again, our whole purpose here is in fact to meet with our Lord. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day, Lord, that You've given to us. Father, thank You, O God, for Your reality and Your nearness. Father, thank You, O God, that You have brought us to this time because You want us to know You. You want us to grow in Your grace. You want us to have a growing, thriving relationship with You. And Father, I pray that You take this time to help in that, Lord, that we'll know You better. Father, that we'll know how You like to work and to move. Father, Your calling upon our lives. Father, I just pray, O Lord, that You use this time for us to know You, to be able to trust You, to grow in You. Father, bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, even though, again, I hope that you are having a great day, I realize the very real possibility is that you're not. In fact, is depending on how many people are actually watching this, there's probably a sizable portion at any given time who are going through difficult times, dark seasons in their life, times of worry or times of burden, times of heavy responsibility, times of sadness, some difficult season of life. And many times in those seasons, we find it difficult to sleep. We toss, we turn. We wake up during the night. Then when it is time to get up, we really can't get up because we're dragging. You know, as we open this God's Word to Psalm 6, we see that David is in just such a time. You think about Psalm 6 as we look at verse 6. You think about what David is saying here. I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. David obviously going through a very difficult time. How did David handle this? What are some things that he did? What can we learn from him as we look at David in this time? Well, let's look at the balance of the psalm, and then we'll try to glean some lessons out of it as we see how we handle, in fact, the dark hours that we so often face in life. And so look with me, Psalm 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there's no mention of you in death. And in Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye is wasted away with grief. It's become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They shall suddenly be ashamed. How do we handle those dark hours when we toss, when we turn, when we wake up in the middle of the night, when we make our bed swim with our tears, as David described there? What is it that we need to do? What was it that David was trying to do even in these times? The first thing we need to do is we need to rest in God's grace. Look again at verses 1 through 2. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. You know, David is very aware of his sinfulness. And there seems to be a connection between David's sin, whatever it was, and this may be Bathsheba, maybe something else, between his sin and the circumstances he finds himself in, between his sins and his anguish. And the reality is God does convict, God does discipline, God does chasten, God does judge. And the only remedy for that is, in fact, confession and repentance. You think about how we see this in Scripture, it's just as true for us. Obviously, first of all, beginning in salvation. Because apart from Jesus Christ, we're separated from God, we're alienated from God, we're in fact under His wrath and judgment, and rightfully so. But when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, we're in fact born again. We are made right with God, so to speak. We're reconciled unto Him. Our sin debt is paid. We're born again. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, by all means, do so. Nothing is in your life, and certainly in your eternity, will be right until you do. God has given a wonderful salvation, and it may very well be that the circumstances you're in and the anguish you're going through is God convicting you, prodding you, and bringing you unto Himself by His marvelous grace. Place your faith and trust in Him. Believer, how we need to examine our lives. Certainly not every time. Not every adversity and difficulty is the result of sin, but there are many times when it is. Again, as a result of God's disciplining us, as a parent, He loves us so much, He disciplines us so that we will be right with Him and grow and mature like any loving parent. Well, in fact, that's the picture you see throughout Scripture. And if we see sin in our life, that needs to be confessed. 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, so we need to in fact rest in God's grace, in salvation, but also in cleansing as believers, that when we've dealt with that, we're in fact reconciled, we're right with God as a believer, we're back in fellowship with Him, and we can rest in that. And this is also true when the enemy attacks us, because quite frankly, many times this is a favorite attack of the enemy to make us doubt our salvation. Don't get me wrong, we should examine to make sure our salvation is real, but the enemy loves to attack us in that area. And certainly even as believers, he loves to attack us when we have sinned and haven't dealt with it, and even after we've dealt with it. You know, he loves to attack us. Who do you think you are? You must not be a Christian. God can't love you. It'll never be right between you and God again, so on and so forth. We need to rest in God's grace, that by His marvelous grace, He has in fact made us His own for eternity when we come to Him in salvation. If you haven't done so, again, I ask you to do that. But as believers, when we confess and repent, we are forgiven, we're cleansed. I won't deny that, you know, there are times when God does not remove the consequences of what we have done. But the spiritual aspect of there being distance between He and us, that is in fact reconciled, is dealt with. And once we've done that, we need to rest in His wonderful grace that He has made us right with Himself. David's problem here is due unto sin, apparently. He needed to rest in God's grace. We need to rest in God's grace. But then notice as well, a very frequent theme that we have seen recently in the book of Psalms, we need to recall God's loving kindness. Look at verse 4. Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. David knows he can count on God because of the loving, kind, good nature of God. Simply who God is. We've commented on it before, used as an illustration before, but it's so powerful. You think of that children's blessing that we used to teach children. You know, God is great. God is good. How we adults need to absorb those two wonderful truths, and right now focusing on that second one, the goodness of God, how it would transform our life and our perspective on every single circumstance and situation that we encounter if we remember that God, by His very nature, is loving and good and kind, and that He, in fact, desires to bless. You think about the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And you know what? Even the valley of the shadow of death did not change that. Now, that's not to say we always understand what God has done or why He's done it. Not even saying we'll always enjoy it. But God's goodness and His loving kindness never ends. It never changes. And how we need to recall that in the dark hours. But then notice number 3. We need to rely on God's promises. You think about what we see in verse 5. For there is no mention of you in death, and in Sheol, who can give you thanks? What David is saying there basically is, God, if you don't help me, I am sunk. And yet what we find is that God has repeatedly told us that He will help us. Again, I know we've looked at it several times lately. But I cannot think of a verse that at least means more to me in this area. In Psalm 41:10, where it says, or not Psalm, but Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You think about how God has, in fact, promised that He would in fact help, that He would in fact be there. Jeremiah 29:11, you probably have memorized it, or at least heard it. We've mentioned it many times. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope. And of course, Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to His purpose. How we, in fact, need to rely upon God's help. The fact that God has, in fact, promised that He would help us. And you realize, you know, it's far easier for us to rely on promises such as that when we have, as we just did a moment ago, remember His love and kindness. Again, and I think last week we commented on this, the importance of knowing God's character, His loving kindness. For you see, when you see His character, it makes it easier to trust His promises. Yes, think about who God is, His wonderful loving kindness makes it a whole lot easier to trust His help that He has promised to give. But then number 4, we need to remember that God hears prayer. Look at verse 9. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. David knew God heard him, not because of who David was, but because of who God was. God, we can be just as confident as David was that God hears our prayer, not because who we are, not because we have anything to offer Him, not because we can repay Him for anything we can do, but simply because of who He is, that wonderful grace that we have talked about. God hears our prayer. In fact, as He invites us to pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You think about what we read in Hebrews 4:16, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You think about, throughout God's Word, He invites us to pray and He promises that He will hear. We've seen it in the Old Testament. You certainly see it. You think about our Lord's ministry, the Sermon on the Mount, how He mentions that. Go into your prayer closet and your Father and pray in secret, and your Father's in secret, He will hear you. You think we see it in the epistles of Paul. We see it in the book of Hebrews. unknown writer may very well have been Paul, but that wonderful promise that God will in fact hear. You know, what's the old hymn, take it to the Lord in prayer, you know, all, and what's the line there? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What a peace he gives when we truly take it to him in prayer and remember that he hears and answers, not because of who we are, but because of who he is, going back to his loving kindness. And he's able to have a wonderful promise of work and deliverance based upon his grace. Again, it all goes back to him. If our Christian life is depending upon our own strength, ability, wisdom, cleverness, whatever the case may be, we never will go to sleep at night. But if we base everything on who he is, we will in fact experience that wonderful peace that was mentioned in the book of Philippians. You know, like David, this may be more than just theoretical for you. You may be in a very dark period of your time, in time in life right now. The season you're in, the problem you're in, the burden, the responsibility that you're carrying. But look at what we can learn from David. Rest in his grace. Recall his loving kindness. Rely on his promises. And remember, he hears your prayer, and you will experience him even in the dark hours. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, that even in the darkest of hours, you are there. You are working. God, thank you for your grace, your loving kindness. Father, the promises that you give that we can trust because of who you are, your loving kindness, your grace. Father, may we, O God, seek you and rest in you. And Father, I pray especially for those who are going through a very difficult time right now. Lord, let them know, O God, the wonderful truth of your love and your nearness. May they especially rest in your grace and recall your loving kindness and remember your promises. And O God, remember that you answer prayer. Strengthen them, guide them, lift them up, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a great day. I hope as a result of our time together that you have an even better day. And if you are going through one of those difficult times, I pray that the lessons that we see in this psalm will help you and strengthen you and guide you, and that you'll encounter God's peace and nearness and comfort and strength as you go through the rest of this day.